This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts and, if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorwath. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, the big butterfly count is nearly over for another year, but this year, with so many people reporting Buddleia's bare of butterflies and very few butterflies around generally. Now, some people have blamed the wet spring, but I mean, is that really the reason? Well, who better to ask than Malcolm Hull of Hearts and Middlesex Butterfly Conservation. Malcolm, I very much appreciate you spending time talking to us today. So is it true? Do you think that there really are fewer butterflies so far this year?
Well, thanks for asking me, Amanda. The answer is yes. There's definitely been a lot less butterflies around this year than last year. And I think over many years, the numbers of butterflies and moths have been dropping. But this year's been particularly bad. And I think it's largely due to the poor weather we've had in the first part of the spring and early summer. Lots of rain, miserable cold weather slows down butterflies' development. Of many of the species are at caterpillar stage then. And if they develop slowly, they're much more vulnerable to predators. Or just getting washed away by heavy rain. So, yeah, it's been a bad year so far. Sunny weather's helping things pick up a little bit, but I think we will be seeing more over the next week or two before we start getting into the August declines. But overall, it will be a poor year.
Okay. And are fluctuations in butterfly numbers like this normal? Would you expect to see them, or do you think this year is especially bad?
It's one of the poorer years I've known, for sure. It varies quite a lot from one species to another. I mean, we've had some species like small tortoiseshell, for example, have crashed altogether. And we've had almost none reported into butterfly conservation locally so far this year. Others, such as meadow browns and peacocks, ringlets, seem to be having quite a decent year. So it's... Yeah, it's good for some, but overall, probably there's more that are losing out than are doing well.
Okay, and is that because of the different time that these butterflies hatch out, or is this because of the different ways that they feed, or do you have any explanation for that?
Yeah, I mean, it will depend on the timing. If you've got butterflies out in flight and you get a long period of really cold weather, such as we had in the spring, then they're not able to get on and do their flying around and breeding. I mean, all butterflies are used to seeing where their feet up for a few days when it's raining and then come out when it's sunny. But if you get several weeks in a row, then actually they don't have enough fuel and resources to survive that long. So, you know, they won't be able to get through their breeding cycle. I think that's what's happened in the case of the small tortoiseshell.
All right. Okay. So are there any areas locally, any new areas locally for butterflies where you're seeing some kind of progress and you're seeing them coming on as good areas for butterflies?
Well, I think of the areas that have been created with sort of butterfly habitats in mind in our area. I mean, Hartwood Forest is probably the standout. Yeah, that's probably a very large site and one that attracts a lot of butterflies. Now, our walks up there, which we run for the public every year, have been very well subscribed, and we've seen lots of different species. Other places aren't on the same scale. I mean, Butterfly World is still quite successful, even though it's closed to the public. We know the butterflies in there are still doing quite well in the meadow area. But most of the other sites are quite a lot smaller. I mean, the council's planted about 30 wildflower meadows around the town in the last year or two, and those are definitely showing an increase in butterfly numbers. But again, it's very early days. The meadows are still getting established.
And how about the butterfly bank down at Chiswell Green? Is progress being made there?
Well, it's 5 years old now, and we designed it so that it would be particularly attractive to chalk-loving butterfly species. You know, it was part of our Small Blue project, and it was the Small Blue successfully arrived there last summer. I'm not sure it's been seen yet this summer, but most things have not been doing particularly well this summer. But it's well established, and if people want to go down and have a look at it, it's just near the Midway Surgery on Watford Road, that end of the park. It's looking great at present. Lots of good larval food plants for butterflies in evidence.
Well, I'm glad you've mentioned the larval food plants, because I do wonder if we've still not quite sort of made that as part of our wildlife message. We seem to be very into pollinator-friendly meadows, having lots of flowers for pollinators, but butterflies need more than that because of their sort of multi-stage life, don't they? Do you think we need to pay more attention to providing the foliage for caterpillars to eat?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're serious about creating a garden for butterflies and moths, then getting the right food plants that they caterpillars need to eat to grow and develop is the first and most important thing to think about. Most species only have one or possibly two plants that they will eat. So if you don't have that plant, then you're not going to get that butterfly breeding it successfully in your garden. We've published a lot of information over the years, and probably the best place to look is our Create a Wild Space website, which I'll send you the link for, which has got masses of information about how you can actually do useful things in your garden for butterflies and moths. I think in order, probably the getting caterpillar food plants, then getting good nectar sources, but also having the right sort of amount of shade and sunshine. You know, butterflies like to have nice sunny positions. You know, if you've got a lot too much shade in your garden, they won't come in. But most butterflies are very fond of a sort of woodland edge type habitat. So they're out in the sun and on flowers, but there are bushes and trees nearby that they can go and hide in if a hungry bird comes along, because all butterflies are severely predated by birds and other creatures, so that they want shelter. So I think those are probably the three key things to be thinking about. Obviously, there's a lot of detail for different species.
Okay, well, that sounds like there's some pointers for us there. I just wondered, actually, whether moths were suffering the same decline as butterflies this year.
Well, we probably know less about moth populations than butterflies. I mean, those people that do record moths have in their gardens have said that there've been some pretty lean times during the spring, but at present in the summer numbers are picking up. So, yeah, I mean, we've got 1,600 different species of moths in Hertfordshire alone. So having an accurate impression of how each one is doing from time to time is not that easy.
Yes, indeed. They're definitely a much more complicated group of insects than the butterflies are, like you say. So I wondered if you could give us any butterflies to look out for over the next few weeks, anything that we might be likely to see.
Well, I suppose the most likely ones are things like peacock, red admiral. They're the brightest and most colourful ones that are likely to be in your garden, but there'll also be gatekeepers, holly blues. They're ones that are often found around gardens. And of course, the large and small whites, they will be much in evidence as always.
Yes, particularly on allotment sites where there's plenty of brassicas for them to feed on, which is, as you can see. How about if we're somewhere like Hartwood, as you say, which is somewhere which is particularly good for butterflies?
Well, I think as we're getting sort of towards, Hartwood is special for its woodland butterflies as well as its meadow butterflies. Well, the woodland ones are coming to an end now. So I think probably the meadow ones are the ones to look at. We'd be looking at things like common blues, brown argus, small copper, small heath, those sort of species, and probably still a few meadow browns, gatekeepers and marbled whites that will be out and about over the next few weeks.
Okay. And you're giving us lots of names which sound absolutely lovely here. But where would you recommend would be the best place to put some faces to names, as it were?
Well, I think Butterfly Conservation has masses of information that's available to people that want to look on the website. I mean, most people have probably got a book in their bookshelf which is telling them out what the names of individual butterflies are. If you want to find out about local butterflies, then the Hearts of Middlesex branch of butterfly conservation publishes detailed information. There's a sightings page on the website. There's lots of information about local sites you can go to see butterflies, and also distribution maps for different species. So you can tell, you know, where which butterflies are actually in your area, and which will help which ones you're actually likely to see. We have about 10,000 records coming in from each year to help us publish our Atlas information in Herts and Middlesex. And it's really useful for people to be able to record butterflies. So one of the things you can, if you use our recording system on the iRecord Butterflies app, then when you open up the app, it's very handy because it comes up and shows you which butterflies are most likely to be in the area you're in at that time of year. So it helps with identification both in terms of location and time of year, because, you know, if you're in the spring, you'll probably be seeing slightly different range of species than if you're in the summer. And if you're in St Albans, you'll probably be seeing something quite different than you're in Surrey. So if you use our app, which is free to download, it helps you to help actually identify what you're seeing. But also, if you click the buttons and report it through to us, it gives us good information, and it's a way of continuing recording once the big butterfly count's finished, which I think it does today.
Indeed. And also, as you say, perhaps sightings during the big butterfly count haven't been as high, but it will be helpful for butterfly conservation to know, as you say, further into the summer when hopefully we might see a few more and a few different types.
Yeah, well, we're really keen to hear about big butterfly counts that you've done. And again, there is an app for doing that on a separate app. Even though the count officially finishes on the 4th of August, you've still got a few weeks grace to actually report your sightings if you haven't reported them so far, because I think it's up until the end of August you've got for actually sending the information in. Yeah, it's really useful to have, you know, even if you're disappointed because you only saw half the ones you did last year, that's still really good information for us to have, because it does help us understand the distribution and just what an impact weather and other problems that butterflies are suffering from is causing on numbers.
Malcolm, thank you so much for telling us about that.
Pleasure.
My thanks to Malcolm Hull of Herts and Middlesex Butterfly Conservation. And I'll make sure that I include the links that Malcolm sends into the notes that go with the podcast of this show, and that you will find on the podcast page of mix926.com. So there's the link to the Wild Spaces webpage, which has lots of information on how to ensure that your outside space is as good as it can be for nature. I found that the wild marjoram that seems to pop up all over the place in my garden is actually a superstar for butterflies and other wildlife. The separate resources, depending on the size and the type of your outdoor space, there's also lots of easy to act on guidance. You can register your wild space to help butterfly conservation build up a picture of where spaces are being managed for wildlife and whether that's reflected in their butterfly sightings. The next link is how to find and to use the iRecord Butterflies app. I mean, it really is very easy to use even if you don't know anything much about apps or anything much about butterflies, actually. And you don't have to submit a photo of the butterfly you've seen, which is lucky, because I find that capturing butterflies on camera is definitely not one of my strengths. And as Malcolm said, all of your sightings help butterfly conservation to get a better picture of what's happening to our butterflies and where they most need help. And then finally, there's the link to the Herts and Middlesex Butterfly Conservation webpage, which, as Malcolm said, it's got lots of helpful information about butterflies locally. It includes a list of all the local spots that are good for butterflies, and also the kind of butterflies that you might see there. Now, Malcolm mentioned Hartwood as being particularly good, which it is, but there's also spaces like Ellenbrook Fields, there's Bricketwood Commons, Simon's Hyde, Mardley Heath, all absolutely lovely places to visit in their own right, but all the better if you've noted a few standout butterflies that you can look out for. And whilst you're on the Hearts and Middlesex Butterfly Conservation's webpage, just take a look at their events page. They've got lots of walks that are coming up over the summer and early autumn. Now, they're all free to join in and you don't even need to book for them. And they should be a really good opportunity to learn something about butterflies from enthusiastic local experts and take a deeper look at some local beauty spots. Now, talking of local beauty spots, the wildflowers this year really do not seem to have minded a damp spring, and I think they're looking particularly gorgeous. I took a walk last week along Jersey Lane Path up to Jersey Farm Woodland Park on the north side of St Albans, and I was greeted by, I'm not kidding, thousands, perhaps millions of wild carrot flowers. They were particularly delicate and beautiful, white umbellifer, a little bit like the cow parsley that we see in our hedgerows earlier in the season. Now, the flowers at Hartwood, I mean, they're always beautiful, and this year is certainly no exception. And if you do go up to Hartwood, then why not take a visit to the Hartwood Arboretum? Before you go, listen to Professor Brian Legg giving me a tour of the Hartwood Arboretum and telling me the fascinating stories about the native species of trees, some of them really very rare, that you'll find there. And again, you'll find those as two podcasts on the podcast page of mix926.com. So, is your garden or local park devoid of butterflies, or is it bucking the trend? I'd love to hear. Via email, I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com, or look for Environment Matters on Mix92.6 on Twitter and on Facebook. Right then, I'm off to upload my slightly belated sightings of one large white butterfly as my contribution to this year's big butterfly count. I'm hoping to have a bit more to report on the iRecord Butterflies app this coming weekend if I do manage to get up to Hartwood to enjoy the stunning wildflowers there. Definitely recommended. I'll be back with you at the same time next week when we'll be talking about greening the curriculum. But until then, thank you for listening.